The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 55, verses 1 to 11. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it.
The second reading is from Acts 10, 44 to 48. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit came on all who heard the message. The circumcised believers who had come with Peter were astonished that the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out even on the Gentiles, for they heard them speaking in tongues and praising God. Then Peter said, "Can anyone keep these people from being baptized with water? They have received the Holy Spirit just as we have." So he ordered that they be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked Peter to stay with them for a few days.
The third reading is taken from John 15, verses 9 to 17. Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command: love each other."
I love the whole Messy Church thing. I love the fact that we've been able to bless Messy Church, BRF, and I now know what it means, with some gifts to help them run what has become a really important initiative in the life of our country, our church, and actually beyond. I also like the connection between all these important things we're thinking about at the moment. So Messy Church in St. Andrews, the school, for the first time on a Sunday afternoon, is a way of reaching out and blessing our families and our community. We do that anyway here, but we're wondering, will it be different if we hold it in a place that's just walking distance from where people live? We're going to try, we're going to see, we're going to find out. But it takes place just after our 48 hours of prayer. Justin Welby calls the Thy Kingdom Come initiative a global wave of prayer. And I love that because, of course, days are different in different countries. And churches everywhere are going to be praying, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." Not just in heaven, but on earth as well. And that's our prayer, of course, as well. That's our prayer with Messy Church. That's our prayer with our church. That's our prayer with our community. So our little bits of giving here, our giving splat, is a way of giving back, of offering towards this wonderful initiative. Today, I want to think a little bit more deeply about this generosity, the generosity of God towards us, but also our response, our generosity towards him and the people around us. What I love is the thought that actually God is already at work in the lives of the people that I meet, that I work with, that I walk around with, that I see, my family. Just like that lady was talking about praying for her friend. We can't do the work of God. But somehow or other, he's chosen in his wisdom and his grace to partner with us to bring God's kingdom and to bring God's love to the people who we live and work with. That passage that we read in John chapter 15, Jesus is talking with his disciples and he's teaching them. And what's important about this is actually they're on their way to Gethsemane. These are his last moments with them. What is he going to say? He's only going to say the things that matter. And goodness, doesn't he say it again and again and again? Lots of repetition in these verses that that Isabel read to us. So here's a little section of it. "As the Father has loved me, says Jesus, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete." Three things. Three times. Abide in my love. Keep my commandments. And you know what? It's about fulfilling not only God's joy, but our joy. Our joy will be complete as we do those things. Now, I find it hard to get my head around these things, but we're going to think a little bit more about this as we go on. They're linked, of course. What does it mean to abide in the Father's love or in Jesus' love? Abide, another word, what does it mean? Remain in, to be in. A bit like the sun on a hot day. You're in it and you soak it in. So if we don't know that we're loved by God, one of the things is to spend time with him, to look at his word and to just give him time to show his love towards us. And actually, until we do that, how can we show love, his love, to our neighbors? For emphasis, Jesus says again in verse 12 and again in verse 17, he says, "My command is this, love each other as I have loved you." Straightforward, isn't it? So we give and show our love in different ways, don't we? It can be our time, it can be our affection, it can be our money, attention given to a person, and of course our skills as well. But as Christians, when we give, our motivation for giving is simply this. We give because God first gave to us. We love because God first loved us. We share the good news of God's love for us, not because we have to, because we can't help it. It flows out of us. I actually struggled with this sermon because we wanted to talk about giving. It's so hard to talk about giving without talking about why. Why do we give? The motivation for it. And in the end, I just could not talk about giving on its own. It has to be a welling up, a result of something else. So I'm not talking about tithing today, although that is part of it. I'm not talking about just giving in financial terms, although that's part of it as well. And my desire is that we might know more of God, that actually, because of that, the results will be overflowing giving. Giving to our friends, to our family, to our neighbours, to our work colleagues. Now, just to help you with this concept that I've been trying to explain, I like the picture of a spring welling up and a well which contains, well, not one of those holes in the ground that you drop a bucket into, but like a reservoir. The spring comes up and the water is contained in this reservoir. There's one in Bath and Wells. I've told you about this before. And out of that reservoir, flowing down the rocks and the pebbles and into a stream, goes the water. You don't even know that it's coming from the spring. It just overflows. And engineers have got together, they've channeled that water and they've directed it in and through the town, so that the people of the town, it's a city, can enjoy the water. I love that picture because it's a picture of the combination of God's Spirit welling up, his source of life, his source of joy, his source of love, which flows over, overflows from us into the lives of our community, our work, our family, and other people. I love it too because there's this partnership, isn't there, between the natural resources, or in our case, the spiritual resources of God, and also the engineer, the people who've managed to get the water to the place where it's needed. I'm going to look back quickly at our reading from Isaiah. It's a remarkable poem. It's a remarkable song. You might not have picked up much about it. I've got lots of words on the screen there, but we're going to take them a section at a time. So it's celebrating God's everlasting covenant and his steadfast love for David first. But look at that first bit. See, I made him, that's first of all David, but second of all Jesus, who is of the house of David. See, I made Jesus a witness to the people, and nations that do not know him shall run to you. It's this picture of not just Israel, but the whole of the world. And so the Israelites are going to be blessed, but so are we in England in 2018 because of the same Jesus. And then we've had the prophecy, there's a heartfelt appeal to those who are listening. It says, seek the Lord while he may be found, call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy on them. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Even in the pardon, there's abundance. I wonder, who of us have come to church today seeking the Lord? Who of us have come here feeling dry or feeling weighed down by habits or by things that we know are not good for us? Does anyone need to return to the Lord? Because God is there. He's in the business of hearing your call. He's in the business of showing mercy. He's in the business of offering abundant pardon. And then we finish Isaiah 55, well, verse 11 anyway, with this picture of the rain and the snow, which falls from heaven. And goodness, they don't return to heaven without doing what they do, which is covering and making green things grow. Actually, our gardens are looking great at the moment. Lots and lots of rain, the sun's come out. But God's word and God's purpose, I love these words, they're not going to return to God without achieving exactly what he wants for them to achieve. So his purpose will be accomplished. his words will succeed in the thing for which he sent it. And so I guess part of my prayer is that God speaks to each one of us in the way that he wants to speak to each one of us, and we respond to that. Finally, our Acts 10 reading, 15 actually. Well, I want to tell you a little bit about what happened before this. So we've got Peter, he's speaking, the Holy Spirit falls upon those who are listening. And the circumcised believers, in other words, the Jews, are thinking to themselves, what? What's going on here? They came with Peter, and they were astounded that the gift of the Holy Spirit should be poured out even on these Gentiles. They thought it was just for them. How were they aware of it? Well, people were speaking in tongues. There was abundance going on. People were extolling, worshiping, praising God. The Holy Spirit's pouring, outpouring on those people had a direct, visible, and audible result. How did this come about? Cornelius, that was the name of the guy, wasn't it? Cornelius was the person who was a centurion, which means he was Roman. He was in charge of, well, I believe that centurions are in charge of 100 or more of people in the Roman army. But he was a God-fearing man, we're told. He was one who gave plenty of gifts to other people, and who had, he and his family, it says, were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need, and he prayed to God regularly. He's praying, and an angel comes to him. At the same time, Peter is on the roof in Joppa, about 30 miles away, praying. What happens to him? He has a vision. God is speaking to two different people in two different ways. This is what I mean by God is at work, even when we don't know that he's at work. Things are happening in people's spirits. Cornelius sends some men to Joppa. The angel told him even where to go. Peter sees this vision of the sheet coming down, and he's told, don't despise anything that you considered unclean. He hears a knock at the door, comes down, there are the people. He walks the 30 miles to Joppa. They've just been 30 miles to meet him. And there, the people are waiting. There's a church service, if you like. They didn't call it that. There, Peter starts telling them all about Jesus Christ, who they've never heard about, not like the way Peter was explaining it. And he finishes with words that say, God's anointing on Jesus Christ of Nazareth was with the Holy Spirit and with power that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins. And it was at this point that the Holy Spirit fell on all those who heard. An amazing sequence of events. These people were baptized in the Holy Spirit, and it was a gift. It turns out that God was already at work. Isaiah had prophesied it, that people of other nations would be blessed. Jesus had promised it, and the Holy Spirit confirmed it. But still he needed Peter and his companions to go and tell. You know, about 2 weeks ago, I went on a short retreat, and it was in an abbey in Cornwall. And on the last day, one of the sisters there, one of the Chemin-Neuf sisters, was sharing her testimony. And her testimony was about, well, she belongs to the Catholic Church, was about them worshipping in this Catholic church in Lyon and realizing that actually God's Spirit was not really tangibly present there. So she and a good number of people, I don't know whether it was her who started it or somebody else, started praying. They started praying for God's outpouring, for God's Holy Spirit to come and meet with them and with the people in the church, with them and their community. And they prayed and they prayed. And God came and met them in a new way. She said, it was like a refreshing. It was like a new energy. It was like coming alive with love for Christ. And that community was the beginning of the community. Every day, this community that's all over the world now, in about 30 different countries, prays daily for the unity of Christians and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as Joel prophesied, on all flesh. So God is actually the source of love. He's the source of our joy. He's the source of our generosity and of our giving. Without him, what can we offer? He's in the business of changing my life and of yours. He's in the business of bringing people to salvation. And he's in the business of pouring out his Holy Spirit upon us and upon our neighborhood. He calls us to abide in him and to receive that gift, the gift of the Holy Spirit, and thereby to overflow with joy, with love, with generosity. Will you come? Will you receive? Will you pray, come, Holy Spirit, into my life today?